It's Friday, November 21st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, thank goodness it's Friday, and yes, I'm getting on an airplane in a few short hours, but hey, I got a great show for you in the meantime. So, you know what it is? Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran and I am your host. And of course, we want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, while you're over there, hey, get subscribed to the podcast via the podcast links on the website. Whether you be using iTunes, Zune Marketplace, or whatever, you'll find a link on the website that allow you to one-click subscribe to the show. And of course, if you're just watching and listening via the web, you can get updates via my newsletter. And you can subscribe to that by clicking on the newsletter a link on the third column of the website. And then once you get signed up for that, you'll get an email notice immediately following the show of everything that I've talked about during the podcast. So make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. That's the best way to get detailed information about what I talk about delivered directly to your inbox. Well, I tell you, it's been a very busy week because I've had to really kind of plan on not being here for the next 5 days unexpectedly. My plan right now is to fly out of Honolulu tonight. I'm going to be leaving I guess I have to be at the airport actually 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then we fly out at 5. I get into Chicago very early, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I drive to my mom's place. Now, I'm going to meet up with Andy McCaskey. He lives off of exit 92 on the toll road, so that'll be about about 2 hours into my trip. So I'm going to stop and see him for have breakfast at Bob Evans. It's right there near the exit gate, so that should be a lot of fun. Maybe we can do a little pre-consumer electronics show planning and just kind of get caught up. So looking forward to having breakfast with Andy on Saturday morning, very, very early. It actually won't be that early because he's an hour. Actually, I think he's still the same time. I don't know. Anyway, I get all mixed up on how there's a time change right there when you go from Illinois into Indiana. So I'm going to be there until Wednesday. I did make a few slight changes to my flight itinerary. I'll be coming back here to Honolulu on Wednesday. But I will be doing my regular show. I'll be recording that Monday night. And it's going to be from the homestead, and I've got all my gear with me, so we're going to try to do a live stream. So if you're online, and I would imagine it'll be about 9 Eastern, I think that'll be the about the time. It may be a bit of an abbreviated show. I'll kind of see how it goes, but plan on doing a show on Monday night. Should be a lot of fun, and have some extra characters to participate, so it should be fun, and probably have my mom on for a little bit, talk with her. But it should be a great show, and then I'll be back here, of course. And I'm planning, as it is right now, to do a normal show on Friday. I'll record one and release it, and so you guys will have something to enjoy after you're lounging around after kind of recovering from Thanksgiving, for those of you that live here in the United States. For those of you that are overseas, it'll be just, show time like normal. Hey, during the last show, I had a situation develop here, and I didn't really talk about it in the show, but I was in a mild panic about 40 minutes into the show because my TriCaster, my very expensive TriCaster, all of a sudden started acting weird. And really what ended up happening was all of the video inputs, it was like someone flipped the vertical hold off, and I rebooted it one time, got it back up online. and it worked okay for about 5 minutes, and then it did it again. I don't know if you noticed the edits in the show, but the people on Ustream were definitely figuring out. But the third time, or second time that locked up, it was done. Stuck a fork in it. It was dead. called the tech support people very, very early the next morning. Matter of fact, I got out of bed a few minutes early just so I could be first in the tech support queue line. They had me do a couple of things, and my wife came in here. She says, "What are you doing?" Because I had the box opened up. They had told me to reseat the one of the cards in there, and that didn't help it. So by noon, it was on its way to San Antonio, Texas for repair. And they were great. Got me an RMA, so everything's good. We had a couple of small issues as well with what version I'm on with the TriCast, another software version, and some registration data. So we finally got that kind of resolved today with them. And they've been really over the top. There's a number of people over there that have helped out. Of course, I want to thank Philip, Ricky, Sarah, all the guys and gals at the folks at NewTek for taking care of me. They promised a very quick turnaround. They know my schedule for the podcast awards is very fast approaching, so they're going to have that back to me. I hope to have it back. Hopefully, it's here when I get back from Michigan. Of course, those of you that because moving on to another topic here, those of you that have iPhones, 2.2 has been released. Make sure you get it updated, and you can start downloading the Geek News Central podcast natively to your iPhone. If you have the new version of the iPod that's got the big screen and everything, you'll be able to do that as well. So natively being able to download without, of course, courtesy of Apple, not by any other third-party companies, but you'll be able to get the show a lot quicker if you forgot to sync up. So make sure you get subscribed that way, and the downloads aren't too bad if you're on a Wi-Fi connection. But the question is, and I haven't done this in a while, should I create a mobile phone, or, you know, maybe a mobile phone version of the show? In other words, something at a much lower bit rate. In other words, it would be a smaller file. The quality of the audio wouldn't be as good. But how many of you would prefer to have a smaller, a smaller size file? And if it doesn't matter to you, you know, don't necessarily respond. Only respond if it would make a difference. The file sizes have been running between 30 and 34 megs is typically the size of the show. So it does make for a pretty big download, but at least via a mobile phone. But when you're on 3G, it really doesn't take that long, because I've done it all the time with my Sprint EVDO card. Moving on here a little bit. And again, if you want me to do a version, I guess send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. If you have any comments about today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Now, as I mentioned in my last show, my wife and I had went out with the kids and celebrated our anniversary. And then I had come back and recorded the show. And it seems kind of weird. I was almost feeling like I'm doing the shows back-to-back because of being delayed today. Now, I've also had a birthday mixed in there. I won't say which of my children have had a birthday. I'm trying to keep their dates of their birthday out of the show. That would be kind of stupid of me, but I've had a birthday in here this week. So I've had some birthday cake this week as well, so it's been kind of fun. I'm ready to get out of here and head out to the funeral of my grandfather tomorrow. Hey, I want to talk to you guys. I was on this quest to find basically what I'm doing is I'm getting my rig ready for the Consumer Electronics Show. And I try to be all self-contained, and I want everything to be perfect, and I dry run here in the house with everything. Well, since I bought the new camera, the Z1U, I've had to go to a bigger monopod. And I got a monopod that has a fluid head mounted on it. Actually, it's perfectly designed for a monopod, so you actually have a little bit of tilt control even when you're on a monopod. And some of you will not understand why I want to do that, but many times it's more difficult to lift the monopod up once you've started recording and jack it back to get something on a table, whereas if I've got a fluid head, I can just roll the camera down onto something that's on a table somewhere and actually get a real good shot. Well, got that all set up, and then I'm sitting here looking at all the pieces. Okay, I'm going to have a a wireless mic on here. I'm going to have a light attached. I'm going to have my hard drive recorder from the folks that I use for, I mean, basically recording the media. We have it going to tape, but we also record it to a focus enhancement HD hard drive, which allows me to go right back to the room and pull stuff on to the Mac really easy. And I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to mount this thing? So I searched for like almost 2 weeks. And finally on eBay, and I guess I Googled enough and found the right. Some guy had basically had the same issue I had. I mean, out of frustration, he milled his own adapter. And the adapter was $40 for just this little thing. And it hooks on. And it was just an absolute miracle is that he made it for the same monopod that I had bought. Now, do you guys know how many monopods are out on the street? There's probably 100. And the model he made it for was the one I had. So it was perfect. So anyway, I got that piece in today, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is going to work good. But it made me lead to looking for other things on eBay. And I have to buy these. I have to have lots of batteries. And Sony batteries, if you buy them retail, are really expensive. But I found these aftermarket ones that were made in China. And I don't know, have any of you bought aftermarket batteries from China before? It was, they're like $33 each. And they arrived today, and I'm feeling them. And they have a higher MMAH rating. In other words, they're supposed to hold a charge longer than the ones from Sony, but they don't feel as heavy. I'm not scared of plugging it into the camera, but I was just kind of amazed that they were to make these this cheap. So how many of you have bought any aftermarket batteries? This is an absolute perfect example of, you know, the ability to get stuff today that we would have never been able to get before at a much reduced price. And I kind of went eBay crazy over the past week because I found lots of people are selling stuff. And, you know, I'm getting stuff at $10, $12. A lot of people are offering free shipping. And anytime I can get free shipping to Hawaii, oh, let me tell you something. That's huge. It really is, because I usually pay an arm and a leg to get stuff shipped here. So kind of curious if you guys want to send me some feedback, if you guys are using any of these aftermarket batteries. It's made in China. And it says for Sony right on the back, lithium ion battery, 7.2 volts. And got the part number right on it and everything. So I'm pretty stoked. I'm going to get these in a charger. And I bought chargers too on eBay. Sony wants like $123 for their charger. I bought three for like $50 or something. That does the same exact thing. May not do it as fast, but don't buy. If you guys are looking for battery chargers, go on eBay. I'm trying not to cough in your ear tonight. Go on eBay and look. They've got them. They got them relatively inexpensive there. Actually, cheap. All right. I got a call from Palm late last week. And they said, Todd, do you want to try out our new Treo phones? And I said, sure. I'll do a review on them. And basically, they arrived a couple of days ago. And I've got two Palm Treo phones here. Or Treo, or I guess that's a more correct way to pronounce it. And one of them looks kind of like a BlackBerry. How many of you are Palm fans? And how many of you are running a Palm phone that's running on Windows Media or Windows Mobile? Playing with this here for a little bit, and definitely I'm going to tell you one thing. I understand now, and these are great phones, don't get me wrong. They have a lot of functions. The cameras in them are pretty good. You can do email. I was doing 3G on both of them today, messing around, sending emails. You know, it's just basically some stuff I set up. I mean, it's really easy to use because it's a Windows interface. But boy, I know why the Apple iPhone is just absolutely cleaning up in business. These phones, even though they're nice as they are, I really don't think they compete. I don't. So any of you that are Treo fans, send me an email. Now, let me pull the boxes down here and see which two I've got so I can give you guys the info here on these. Let me grab these. They're behind me, so I'm going to slip away for just a second. They sent me a – the first one they sent me was it's called a Trio Pro. It's a Trio Pro smartphone. And the second one they sent me was a Centro. And one is running on Sprint, and one is running on AT&T. So what I thought would be funny today was to check and see – I have – when I'm using my iPhone on T-Mobile, there's always three places that I lose signal. Every time I drive by these three places, they lose signal. And I've always thought, well, I wonder if any of the other carriers are any better. So I used the phone today that was with AT&T, and it actually dropped in two more places than what my iPhone on T-Mobile did, which blew me away because I thought AT&T would have had better connection. So what I'll do when I get back is I'll use the Sprint phone, and I'll see how it does in getting through my hard connection areas and see if it actually drops. And I have to send these back within 21 days, or they're going to send me an invoice for them, so I don't get to keep them. My kids were stoked. Oh, Dad, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm like, they're not yours. But this one phone is designed for kids, and I'm looking at the keyboard, and I'm like, there's no way. There's no way I could do this. Both of them come with styluses. I didn't figure that out for about the first 3 hours, and they have a touchscreen, and I'm trying to hit it with my finger, and I'm like, why is this not working? And my daughter, she's like, Dad, are you being dumb? She says, look, here's a stylus on the back. I got a friend that has a phone kind of like this. Just use your stylus. And I pulled that out, and I'm like, oh, okay. But doesn't it seem like so, like, old school to use a stylus? I don't know. I really don't. I'm not much of a stylus fan. But anyway, I'll give you a good review on these, a good honest review when I get the get done playing with them a little bit. And I'll give everything a fair shake here. All right, let me go ahead and take care of a little business here before we get into the full content tonight. And, of course, if you're looking for a domain name, you're looking for a hosting account, looking for a shared hosting account especially, go over to GoDaddy.com. And when you get to that checkout counter, after picking up a great product of theirs, don't forget me and use one of our promo codes here. The primary promo code that's going to save you money all the time is T-O-D-D. That's Todd. That'll save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders of $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on one-year shared hosting accounts. That's a great deal, really is. Now, here's a little hint. When you're getting ready to register some domain names or renew some domain names, ComSale for .coms. ComSale is the one you want to use for a renewal. Okay, so that one's the only one that usually works on renewals. So, just a little advice there: use that code, share it with people, and tell your friends, and that helps me keep the lights on here for sure. I got to figure out what Andy's going to be doing with the Tech Podcast Roundtable, but nevertheless, when we do have that event, our sponsor, GoToMeeting, is going to be right there helping us out. And if you've ever been to an online meeting, you know how long it can take to set up the technology and get the meeting started. That's why you need the easiest online meeting service available, GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you and your attendees can join a meeting in seconds without technical headaches. You can deliver instant sales demonstrations and customer training sessions right from your own computer. Share presentations or programs with anyone, anywhere, and avoid the high cost of travel. You and your attendees can also use GoToMeeting's integrated phone and voice IP conferencing service to make ever sure everyone in the meeting is on the same page. GoToMeeting is so easy that you'll have your first meeting running in seconds. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days with unlimited online meetings. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Okay, I do have a stack of stuff for you here, and let me pull it up and see where we're at time-wise. Oh, a little long tonight, but I had to share with you some of this other geeky stuff. How many of you still want to unlock your iPhone 3G? Well, have you heard about this proxy SIMs? And this is not for the faint at heart or anyone that is even worried in the slightest about busting your iPhone. You don't want to do this. But there is a way through a proxy SIM. It's basically a little chip on a wafer that actually slides in between your SIM and the contacts on your iPhone, and it really mechanically bypasses the unlock. Pretty good write-up on that over on the Apple blog. I have that linked up in the show notes. But again, word of warning, the guy that did the review, you'll see he had broken his iPhone, had to send in and get it repaired or actually replaced. But he was able to make it work the second time around. So be very, very careful out there. Of course, lots of stuff in the news about the car industry and the bailout, or maybe no bailout, or maybe they wait till after the new year when the new senators are in place before there is a bailout plan. But a matter of fact, did you guys see that GM stock is at $2.50? You know, I'm thinking to myself, boy, is that an opportunity just to go out and roll the dice? You know, if they, I just don't think that the government is going to allow them to fail. As much as I don't necessarily agree with them bailing them out, I'm almost positive that the folks in Congress are going to do it. I'm just sure they're going to give them some money, and the stock's got to come up a little bit. So I'm wondering, with all the money probably all of us have lost in our 401ks and our investments, you know, what's, you know, if you have some $1,000 in cash laying around, boy, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it's worth the roll of the dice just to buy a little of their stock and see what? $2.50, you know, $2.50 to buy GM, you know, recession or not, it kind of excites me a little bit, but you could lose it all. So I think it's one of those things where you have to decide, yeah, I could invest, you know, whatever money I have, you know, it's a money that's I could lose and not cry about. And if I lose it, I lose it. If I make money, you know, I could have a triple, quadruple my money in a couple of years. You know, it was $92 a share at one time. So I don't know. It's one of those things you have to really think about. But I did. But anyway, how that relates to what I was going to. Wow, what's that noise? Wow, that was really weird. I don't know where that came from. I'll have to ask my lovely wife if they were running something like a hairdryer or something in the house. But it's gone for now. We'll see if it comes back. Well, anyway, what that has to do with the show tonight is I was reading in Popular Mechanics how the L.A. Auto Show and the analysis on that is really, it's pretty dismal there. And it makes you really wonder what's going to happen next. You know, it's pretty scary. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'll move on to more tech stuff here. And actually, the next article is a science article about how they have found these folks down in Ecuador, and actually they are a community of about 300 who are they're dwarves, and what they have found with these folks is that none of them have ever caught cancer or contracted cancer. And I guess you can't catch cancer, but contracted cancer, got cancer. They found that even though relatives who are not dwarves have caught cancer and kind of at the normal rate, this whole community, none of them have ever caught cancer. So they're doing a lot of study to try to find out why. So this is pretty interesting, and they're going to do some very in-depth DNA analysis to try to determine exactly what's different. So kind of exciting there that, and maybe it's just one of those things where it's just absolutely a luck of the draw, but it'd be nice if they found something that would give a clue or some insight into what triggers cancer in people. Okay, there's a great astronomy picture of the day. It's basically you see the moon in the background and the Endeavor a little bit above it. Just absolutely gorgeous. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. The folks at Verizon today have announced the Storm, and it's a new BlackBerry, and it's absolutely a beautiful phone. Hasn't gotten a lot of super glowing reviews, but I've seen some people be mixing. Yeah, it's pretty good. Some people say it isn't, but really, this is what I would probably consider the first real shot across the bow at trying to you know, basically stem the rapid flow of people moving to the iPhone, and give the BlackBerry folks who are hardcore BlackBerry fans the opportunity to get a phone that has a touchscreen and everything. So really, Verizon has bet the farm here on Storm for the holiday season. They're really going to have to be aggressive in their pricing because, in all honesty, people are just not going to be spending too much money and on these big ticket items. And I don't know what it's going to what's going to cost $200 for those of you that want to agree to a 2-year service contract. It comes with a built-in camera and has a music and video player. So it's going on sale. It's on sale now. And if any of you pick it up, love to hear you guys' reviews on it. Let me know what you think about the Storm. And especially if you have had some experience with the iPhone, I'd love to hear the plus and minuses of the two different phones. Of course, you can always send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com at 619-342-7365. I found a couple of cool articles tonight that I'm going to link up in the show notes, and they're pretty complicated subjects. One of them is Ultra Wideband Radio Rides a Beam of Light, and it's over at sciorg.com. It's managed by a couple of very smart people at the Holon Institute of Technology in Holon, Israel. And really what they've done here is that they're using photonic components for the ultra wideband radio over fiber, over optical fiber. And what he wants to do is he wants to see streams of high definition video and other high band services flowing through homes, offices, and buildings, and even through ships and planes through a happy marriage of optical and ultra wideband radio technologies. And it's kind of a cool idea here. And really, if you think about it, and he goes on to say here, the wireless signals that feed your Bluetooth earbud or let you surf the web from your corner coffee shop fade into a electronic background after about 10 meters or so. So starting in 2006, these researchers set out to find an inexpensive way to stretch that range to hundreds or thousands of meters, and they've built a hybrid system in which ultra-wideband radio signals could be transformed into light beams relayed over long distance via inexpensive optical fibers and then transformed back to radio again. So this is a pretty cool idea. You know, you'd use the fiber for getting it over long distances, and then you just do the short haul via wireless. Very interesting story here on what they're developing. And who knows, someday we may, can you imagine having 480 megabits of bandwidth in your house? I just can't imagine. Okay, over on the Well, well.blogs.newyorktimes.com. So well.blogs.newyorktimes.com. News is keep getting worse for vitamins. If you're a big vitamin taker, I really recommend that you read this article. Opened up my eyes a little bit, and it's worthy a read. For those of you that take a handful of vitamins every morning, it really was kind of like, wow, are you kidding? And it's not necessarily entirely all good news. Now, on a tech front, Apple, boy, oh boy, they have done something here that is going to probably make a lot of you a little bit upset. Apple has brung HDCP to the new aluminum MacBook. Basically, high bandwidth digital content protection, or HDCP, is a encryption method in which we've talked about on shows before, where people have had, and this is on the Microsoft side, is where you've had a computer that's got you, it's all tricked out, and you have a very nice HD monitor, and you plug your computer into that monitor, and it's not HDCP compliant, and you try to play a DVD, and it says, hey, you have to plug in a lower resolution monitor. You can't play it on this monitor because they're worried you're going to either record the screen or use an output from the screen to pirate the video. Well, how it relates to the Mac is that these new aluminum MacBooks, or the new MacBooks, have this new HDCP built into it, where if you buy a movie via the iTunes store, you cannot play the content if you have your external video plugged into a device that's not HDCP client, HDCP authorized. So, in other words, if you run it into a projector or into a big screen that's too large for, you know, basically it's not HDCP compliant, it's going to say, hey, you can't play it on this screen. It's not allowed. So, the technology is really preventing some or arbitrary collection of iTunes files from being played on HDCP non-compliant devices. So this is just more of the same of them locking us out. And over time, you know, basically we all have monitors that have this HDCP compliance, and, you know, they'll have us so locked in DRM that, you know, we'll have to ask permission if we just to press the play button anymore. But this is the case, and while this has been in Microsoft's product, Microsoft Vista's product for a while, this is the first that's shown up in what they've seen in the Mac. So we'll see here. Okay, with the announcement of Jerry Yang deciding to walk away from Yahoo, the folks at Forbes have been talking to the folks at Yahoo, and they've come up with the five biggest mistakes that Yahoo has made and probably gotten them to the point where they are today. And the first thing that they said is aborted product projects. You know, Yahoo, is they're saying, has a lot of internal projects that get started but die within several months or years later for many unknown reasons. Back in 2002, the folks at Yahoo had the chance to buy Google for $5 billion. And guess what? That would have been, just think about that. They could have bought Google for $5 billion and the world would be different as we know it. Aren't you kind of glad they didn't buy Yahoo? What a blunder. Number three was hiring a specific CEO after the bust back in the 90s, and they didn't feel that was a very good move. Of course, to fail to buy DoubleClick and letting Google swallow that up before they did was a mistake. And they say the number five biggest mistake was probably Jerry Yang and his ability to really irritate the folks at Microsoft, specifically the CEO over there, and who, you know, really it just didn't work out in that acquisition. But I think Yahoo would be a much different place and a much different position right now had they went through with the Microsoft deal. Now, they're going to be lucky if they survive in the long run. They really are. Even though they have this huge amount of traffic, you know, they're really it's really poor what's going on over there, and it's really sad for them to get to this point in their development of their business. How many of you are excited about solid state drives? I know that I am. I'm really excited about the future and having solid state drives, not from just a power consumption basis, but, you know, being able to have a device that at some point we'll be able to, you know, have relatively stable storage in quantities that are pretty big. Samsung has announced really an awe-inspiring 256 gig SSD. It's still not priced what it's going to cost, but wow, 256 gigs. I'm sure it's going to be expensive. You know, the SSD pricing is still pretty high on a per gig basis, but I saw some notebooks at a local trade event that they had here in Hawaii. It was where they had basically high tech stuff. They had a little conference, and I saw, you know, many of you have seen the Panasonic Toughbooks before, but I saw a Toughbook by Dell. Saw some, you know, Toughbooks by Dell that had SSD drives in them. I was playing with them. I was excited. I didn't even know Dell was making a Toughbook. They don't call it a Toughbook, but very ruggedized. And I'm a big fan of Dell products as well. So it was just pretty. It was pretty amazing that this thing had a pretty big SSD in it. And as I was playing with it, the machine was much, much cooler. And the guy was talking about the battery life. It's just, I can't wait. I really can't until the price on these comes down. But 256 gigs, you know, they first start out real small, 4 gigs, 8 gigs, 6 gigs, and we've jumped in really just in about a year to 256 gigs. Now, it's this thing is going to be 10 times faster than the quickest 7200 RPM notebook drive. I want. Does anybody listening to the show have any connections at Samsung? If they do, boy, I want to be your best friend. All right, over on Gizmodo, Sprint is asking employees to please resign. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your boss coming up and say, hey, we're looking for volunteers for people to resign? And you'd be like, not me. I'm not going to resign. You're going to have to fire me, right? Well, I guess they're making a significant compensation package. I'd love to see what that compensation package is to get someone to quit. I tell you what, I think I'll go to work for Sprint for about 3 weeks, and I'll say, I'll quit. Can I have the compensation package, please? I'm sure you have to work for them for a while, but this is very interesting what the Sprint spokesperson said. This Lisa Zimmermann-Mott says, what is happening is Sprint is offering a personal decision for employees to take advantage of a voluntary separation package. No one is being forced to do anything. There are no force reductions. There are no layoffs in store. And it's a matter of employees having the option to exercise discretion. No targets have been announced. You know what this is? If you are one of those employees that have gotten some bad fitness reports, or you've had a few run-ins with the boss, or maybe you know your job's on shaky territory, maybe this would be an option. But I know. It's got to be one heck of a separation package. Like 3 years worth of salary, or you know, maybe five? Because you know, how long is this recession going to take? 2 years? 3 years? How long is it going to take before people are all back to work? I don't know. I don't know if I was older and it was big enough. I just don't get it. No one's going to volunteer. Jeez. All right. Can you imagine a 26-foot tall Christmas tree? Well, we can all imagine that, right? Well, how about one made up of 43 sharp flat screen TVs? Sharp has unveiled a stunning 26-foot tall Christmas tree made of 43 LCD televisions, which size range from 19 to 52 inches, and it's in New York's Grand Central Station. I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, how come the screens are showing like this star type thing? It doesn't really look like a Christmas tree light. If they would have been really smart, they would have had this thing actually had make it look like Christmas tree lights and have the wires look like they were all interconnected, but they didn't go that far. And they actually have an actual Christmas tree behind this thing. So if you're a New Yorker and need another reason to go to Grand Central, Sharp will donate $1 per registered person to a program that trains people in environmental jobs if you go over there to register to win one of the panels in the tree. So I'm sure a lot of New Yorkers will be over there signing up for that, being that they won't be able to afford to buy Christmas trees because they've been laid off from their jobs. Okay, Apple TV 2.3 update has broken Boxy. And other hacks updated the Apple TV application or Apple TV device. I haven't upgraded mine yet. But if you're running Boxy, you may want to hold off before installing version 2.3. Make sure you turn off auto update. Boxy's working to fix the workaround. We'll see if they'd be able to make it happen. But I'm sure Apple is not happy with these third-party hacks. Hey, how many of you got a GameStop in your area? Well, the Black Friday ad has been leaked. Let me tell you what they're going to have available at 7 a.m. on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving. They're going to have a $199 Xbox Arcade. It's a holiday bundle. It includes Sega Superstars Tennis, 5 free arcade games on disc, a wireless controller, and a 256-megabyte memory card. For those of you gamers out there, is this a good buy? I don't know. Next thing they're going to have is a Xbox 360 Pro Holiday Bundle, $299. It's going to include a Lego Indiana Jones wireless controller, Kung Fu Panda, and a 60-gig hard drive. The Xbox 360 Elite Holiday Bundle is available for $399. They got Guitar Hero, the Wii Edition Dual Guitar Hero Bundle for $129. I don't know if I'd do that, but maybe my kids would like it. Oh, yeah, I got to talk choir. They're up still. They've got some PSP UMD movies, and they've got Rock Band 2 available for $59.99 and 2,500 game gifts under $20. So that's what's going to be available at GameStop the day after Thanksgiving. So we'll keep bringing in these. Hey, if you find a leak on a sale, let us know, and I'll have it here on the show for you. Now, when you know, how many times have you spilt something on your cell phone, or you dropped your phone, or you know the kids got a hold of her, the dog was carrying. You know, cell phones get abused, right? How do you think they test those to make sure that they withstand all the crazy things that we do to them? Well, Nokia has submitted some pictures of their damaged test labs. And I think you all get a good kick out of this. Be like, wow, that's cool. Whoa, they did that and it survived. Wow, it's a pretty cool set of pictures. I like the one where it shows the phone being pressed, and it looks like, you know, maybe someone that was about 500 pounds had sat down in a corner of a sidewalk somewhere with their phone in their back pocket. It's kind of get that bend look to it. But that's a good one. The other picture I like is the one where they're replicating people mashing the buttons with their fingers. So that's a good one as well. All right, the folks at NASA have been very, very busy. They have added a smell detector to the space station. Yes, a smell detector. Now, I would imagine being up there with three of your friends. After a while, you know, it's just, you know, your food doesn't get right. You have a little bit of some natural smells there. But this smell device is something that is pretty amazing, and it has 32 sensors in a device the size of a shoebox called the e-nose or electronic nose, and it'll be able to detect even the most subtle inorganic and organic smells. The ISS astronaut Lee Carl Waltz said that he wished he would have had one of these when they had an air quality event during Expedition 4 mission on the space station. What is a air quality event? That's a good, I'd like to know what that means. But the sniffer looks pretty impressive. But again, about the size of a shoebox, and is capable of sniffing out 32 different things. I'm sure it's self-protection to make sure that it detects anything that is in the station that are actually in the air that shouldn't be in the air. So it actually pumps air through it, has an analyzer. And it actually kind of looks like the device that I have in my my cigar box that keeps my cigars humidified. That's kind of what it reminds me of. Along with that, they've done two spacewalks. First spacewalk, they lost a tool bag. Now, fellas, y'all got these little tool bags you use to carry, you know, your tools around. You may have a nice toolbox in your garage, or maybe you don't. But I have a little, whenever I need to go on a, you know, little fix-up job here around the house, I have a regular toolbox that is, I can carry it anywhere. It's not one of those roll-around ones. It's just, you know, a regular mankind toolbox, and I open it up and I pull out the screwdriver and the hammer and I put it in a little carry bag that I have. Well, when you go up to the, you do a space mission, you have to carry some tools out. That bag better be tied off to you, right? Well, they had a grease gun that leaked. Now, that made me laugh initially that the grease gun leaked, because all grease guns leak. It doesn't matter. There hasn't been a grease gun made yet today that doesn't leak, you know. I used to work with, my dad had grease guns by the dozen, because we had heavy machinery. You'd have to grease the machines. They all leaked. And there was one that was in, so they had a leak. One of the grease guns, whoa, big surprise, had a leak, and the gal was trying to clean the grease up, and the bag got away. Now, okay, so my little bag that I have that I use to carry my tools around cost, I don't know, $5. I bought it in some, you know, hardware store or something. Well, the tool bag that they lost, hold on to your hat, had two grease guns in it. Okay? Two grease guns in a bag. $100,000. Now, I'm going to, here's where I'm going to raise my hand. Folks, who wants to go in business with me making tool bags for NASA? I have got a deal for them. Oh, yes, indeed. I will develop the most fancy tool bag known to man. It will never, ever get away from them when they're out doing jobs, you know, on the International Space Station. And I will give it to them at a bargain price. Now, seeing that they only needed two, I'd have to sell them in some quantities, maybe 100, right? So let's see here. If they're paid $100,000 for that tool bag, let me see here. I can sell them 100 for $100,000. What do you think? Sounds like a pretty good deal. Who wants to go in business with me to do that? Let's bid that up. Matter of fact, one of the ladies that are audience members, let's you and I start a business. We'll put it in your name, so that way when we bid the contract, we get a little higher up on the bidding podium. You know, so use that angle there. remember the $900 hammer? Oh my gosh, $100,000 tool bag? Who are they kidding? Someone needs to audit the folks at NASA. $100,000, I'm sure that tool bag was very fancy, but yet it floated away. Oh, boy. But they've done a second spacewalk today. Nothing got loose. But you know what they did? They took some of that stuff that they were using to grease the gears for the solar arrays. And they pumped some of that into a rag. And that substituted her. Now, I wonder how much that rag cost that she was carrying around and greasing those chains with. Now, that has to be some pretty special grease to be in a vacuumous space. I'd like to see the formula for that. That would be the interesting thing to find out. And be able to, the temperature and, boy, it's we got to be some pretty amazing grease. I'm sure probably that's why it was so expensive. The tube of grease cost $99,595, and the bag cost $5. All right, Staples has got their Black Friday ad has been leaked as well. So if you're looking for an e-machine with a 19-inch widescreen flat panel, $99. Netgear wireless N router, $49.98. Western Digital MyBook Essential 640 gig external hard drive, $69. I'm going to get two of those, or three or four. Microsoft Office Home and Student Edition, $59.99. That's about a $40 savings. Kodak EasyShare C913 9MP digital camera, $79.99. Oh, here's one, an HP Pavilion 15.4 dual-core laptop with 2 gigs, 120-gig hard drive, $399. Link will be up in the show notes. Sounds like some pretty good deals there. That's more like it. Hey, those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, you know that I'm a big fan of the products over at Neuros. We've gave a bunch of their stuff away over the years. Neuros has released the Link and open-source web-savvy set-top box. They haven't called to send me one yet. Neuros, call me. I want one of these to test. $299, and here's where it's really going to compete. And what I like about this, it's open source, so you can add stuff to it. They want you to add code to it. Matter of fact, Angela, if you're listening, you need to look at this link. So you can pull video from a wide range of online TV sources, Hulu, NBC, ABC. You can go to different sites. It actually ties in all the different video content from multiple sites. You can put content from a USB hard drive. There's all kinds of cool stuff that they've done. The newest TV interface, the link does something pretty spectacular. Instead of pushing you through a clumsy series of web portals, it gives you a simple, unified interface for browsing online video content. $299 is the price, or $249 without the keyboard. You don't need the keyboard. Keyboards are cheap. Get one, you know, get a wireless keyboard for, you know, they're cheap. Get one on Thanksgiving. But it'll be tough to take on the $229 Apple TV, but I love Neuro stuff because they're all about open source, and love to get my hands on one. It doesn't look too big, bigger than any of their other units that they have put out so far. But they've been pretty innovative with the gear they have, and this is really a big leap for them. Over on Robinhood's website, if you are building a website, you'll definitely want to check out some browser compatibility tools. So this link has a list of the different browser compatibility tools are out there, so you can play around with that. Over on Google, they're announcing that their search wiki is making search your own. So have you ever wanted to mark up a Google search result? Well, now you can. When you are searching for something and you're logged into your account, it gives you the ability to push an item that you found in search to the top. How many of you go back to Google again and again and again and again, and you're always searching for the same thing instead of bookmarking a link? I do it. So if you find something that's on page 3 that should be over on page 1, you can push that up all the way to the top. So it's at the top of the listings, and it's only for you. You can share your settings with like-minded people, but it gives you the ability to really kind of customize your own search results. So this will be kind of cool to see what happens here with this, but it's called the Search Wiki. I have the link up to the show notes. Microsoft is saying that IE8 will not be released until 2009. They're not giving a date. They are saying first quarter of 2009. So they're not going to get this one out this year, so they've missed their mark on this one. All right, I think this next, this is not it. I got a story to talk about here later that's pretty disturbing. But this one's from the New York Times. It says, teenagers, internet socializing, not a bad thing. And talks about how they're finding that the socializing and social being on these websites like Facebook and MySpace and so forth is teaching young adults how to cope in the current world. And because things have changed, technology has changed, the study has been conducted from 2005 to late last summer, and it talks about how they've used it. It doesn't measure its effects, but it says that it's giving the younger people technological skills and literacy they need to succeed in the contemporary world. So learning how to get along with others, how to manage a public identity, how to create a homepage, and so forth. So interesting take on that. Okay, TechCrunch has got a real interesting breakdown here, and I need to really look at this a lot closer, what they have said. TechCrunch has got an amazing audience. They've got 1.4 million subscribers to their RSS feed. I can only dream of having that many. But it breaks down, and it shows the feed readers and aggregators, and Outlook 2007, of all applications, they get their most subscribers from that. 519,904 people are using Outlook 2007 to subscribe to RSS feeds. How many of you listen to this audience are using Outlook to subscribe to RSS feeds? I would have never considered it. Google Feed Fetcher is second. That's amazing. 389,000. NewsGator Online, 141,000. Blog Rover, which I've never heard of before, is 141. NetVibes is 78,000. Blogline's 22,000. AOL NewsReader, 15,000. Flock My News. Let's see here. I got to cancel an update here. I guess it did already finish. Flock My News, 13,000. MyYahoo, 8,700. Windows Media Center, 2005. Feed Reader, what? 8,614. Just does not make... Some of these don't just blow me away. It really does. So, what are you guys using for feed readers out there? Are you guys using Outlook 2007? If you are, tell me why. Why do you like that over an application like Feed Demon or another application? Is it just because it's in Outlook and it looks like you're reading email when you're maybe doing work? I don't know. Let me know. let's see here. Move on here. I don't want to cover that. And, oh, we've heard about, read this real interesting article today, two or three different places. I guess the DOD has initiated a ban on USB sticks, maybe even CD drive, or CD disk as well. Media cards has USB sticks, flash media cards, and CDs. They banned the utilization of those on the computers. I can imagine not being able to use a USB stick on a PC, you know, just the ease of carrying data with you. And how are they going to be able to move data between themselves? But anyway, they have banned the use of USB devices, and the folks at Symantec have seen a rise in USB-based malware. Now, I know that for a while there was one company that was selling USB sticks that had especially a virus on it. You know, all these things are being made in China. So, you know, can you imagine buying a brand new USB stick, sticking it in your computer, and it infects your PC with a virus because the folks at the manufacturing plant, you know, it was basically allowed to get through and resides on every stick that they send out. But apparently there's some sort of malware that they're fighting. Lots of stories about this, but very interesting step. To eliminate the threat of this malware, whatever it may be. The folks at NASA are pretty happy because the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has detected what scientists believe are huge glaciers of water ice lying beneath a layer of rocky debris. They don't have the pictures yet, but they're pretty positive here that they have found a huge glacier. Now, I said glacier of water, water ice lying beneath a layer of rocky debris. I bet you I know where the next probe is going to go. So this was down in the southern hemisphere where they've detected this. They say they're big, and they say the glaciers reach for dozens of miles. One is three times larger than the city of Los Angeles, and is up to a half a mile thick. This is amazing. This would be really big. But the findings will be reported in Friday's edition or today's edition of the Journal of Science. We'll see what they have to say And that, I'm sure, will be big news tonight. All right, government star witness in this case about this gal that caused this young girl to commit suicide. The trial's not going so well because the government star witness has stumbled. Basically, the young woman who typed the final cruel message to 13-year-old Megan Meyer the day she killed herself took the stand to testify against her former employer and confidant, Lori Drew, who is on trial. And basically, she says in this several moments in the in the 80 minutes of testimony, there was some moments that seemed to undermine the government's case. And where the most damaging in statements was that Drew had said it was not Drew's idea to create a fake MySpace account to befriend Megan, and that the actual witness himself had opened up the account. So this could have an impact. I guess I didn't know there was a second gal involved in this, but this is a very interesting twist to this trial. And if you guys, if you remember back, they were talking bad things about this girl on this MySpace account, and it really it troubled her to the point where she committed suicide. And so the government they're going after this Lori Drew, trying to prosecute her. Over on the New York Times, there's an article about regenerating a woolly mammoth for $10 million. Scientists are thinking that they're going to be able to take the DNA that they have extracted from the woolly mammoth and for about $10 million actually regenerate a woolly mammoth by some manipulation of cells from an elephant and essentially be able to clone a woolly mammoth. This is pretty amazing stuff. For about $10 million, they think they can do it, and they could have a live, walking around woolly mammoth. What do you guys think? Think they should go for it? I think someone will sooner or later. It is pretty interesting. What are they going to do? Are they going to do a dinosaur? Actually, DNA from dinosaurs, I won't be able to, because the effective age limit for DNA is about 60,000 years. So they won't be able to do dinosaurs, but they might be able to do a woolly mammoth. Hey, kind of on an interesting note, the International Space Station has one additional visitor that has become unaccounted for. When Space Shuttle Endeavour took off from Kennedy Space Center this month, the crew carried two spiders with them. The spiders were sent in an enclosed box for a school science program, and students want to know if spiders can survive and make webs in space. But now only one spider can be seen in the container. NASA isn't sure where the spider could have gone. Well, I tell you what it was. They didn't tape the lid down. And he got out. And hopefully the spider that got out is not pregnant. I don't know how spiders reproduce, but I'm going to tell you something. If they have spiders on the International Space Station, that is just going to be, it's going to be hilarious. It really is. And it's not a good thing. it's not like they're going to have much to eat. There's not too many flies on the ISS to catch. Oh, gosh. All right. If you're a Zune user and you have their $14.99 unlimited music plan, they've added a piece to that where you're going to be able to add 10. You're going to get 10 tracks of music free every month for just having the $14.99 collection. What a great deal! $14.99, you get unlimited music that you can put on your Zune, and then you get 10 tracks a month, which really is a $10 discount. So you're paying $4.99 for the service, and you're adding new music to your Zune. What a deal! What a deal! Told my daughter about this, and she goes, "Really? Wow, that's cool. I got so many music, so much I want to." She's just spazzing. So for if I continue to pay her renewal fee, she'll have 120 new songs every year, and it's probably more than she would buy with her normal allowance. That's for sure. Okay, I got a few emails on this, and there's actually an article up on Geek News Central. And I want to talk about a very sad situation that happened on Justin TV last night. Apparently, there was a young man, 19 years old, a little bit distraught, and he was threatening to take some pills during during his live stream. And I guess people that were in the chat audaciously just audaciously, told him to go ahead and take them and egged him on. And then watched him a little while later go to sleep and watched for several hours and finally started freaking out because they thought they saw him stop breathing. And through a series of trying to figure out where this guy lived, they were able to call the police, and the police kicked the door in, and sure enough, this guy overdosed. I'm telling you, folks, it's a time of the year where people can be very happy or very depressed, and we have to be very prevalent in watching our kids, our friends, our neighbors, people that live alone, because it's a very dangerous time. We're going into a very dangerous time here. Suicide is not something we like to see happen. And especially on an online situation, they watched this gentleman for 2 hours and did nothing. And it shocks me to my core. They talked about him for 2 hours and thinking it was a hoax. I cannot describe the emotions I have over this, that they would actually do this. And we live in a very cruel world at times when people cannot understand that these types of threats and comments have to be taken for what they are. And even if this individual had been joking, it has to be taken as a real threat. And someone has to step up and be courageous enough to say something or to get that person some help. I'm fairly certain, based upon what little I've read, that if that group would have recognized what it was going on for what it really was, and someone had acted early, this young man, as distraught as he was, would still be with us and could get the type of mental care that he needs. And you hate to see something like this happen, and it happened on Justin TV. It's one of the, one of the people that have a stream over there. And he left a suicide note, and I did read the suicide note, and it just shakes you to your core. It really does. So let's watch out for one another. We're heading into a very, with the economy the way it is, with people losing jobs, with people worried about losing their jobs and knowing what the next months are going to come, where we're going to be for the next year, if we're going to be making our house payments, our rent payments, all this stuff is top of people's mind. And for some people, it really can be overwhelming. And what I'm going to recommend to all of you is that we reach out to family members. If you know a family member that is having trouble and maybe has been laid off, charity starts at home. And you have to take care of people at home first. And if you're thinking about making a Christmas donation to something, or if you're thinking about even considering making a donation to my 24-hour podcast and you have a family member in need, I would say charity starts at home first. And we need to really take care of those in our families. Small acts of kindness will pay you back many, many times over. And I think if we all can live by that and reach out to people, hopefully we will not have this tragedy that has happened online. I don't know who this gentleman was. I had never obviously heard of him, but the simple fact that people did nothing for 2 hours is unacceptable. And maybe it was, people just thought it was a joke as a way to get attention. But most people that are thinking about committing suicide are crying out for help, and they need our attention, and they need professional attention. along with community and family support. So charity starts at home. Let's take care of our ones, our family members that are, might be having troubles. And while we can't, I know we all have to watch our own bottom lines, let's make sure that, you know, if we can do something for someone else, we do that. I have a family member in my family that they're facing some critical economic times. And as my mom and I, we you know, this is, my mom really kind of brought this to home to me. She says, you know, Todd, charity starts at home first. And I think that's important for a good lesson for me to pass on. And I'll probably talk a little bit about, we won't bring this up during my show at home, but it's, let's watch out for one another. So on a more, let me go ahead and get off this. I've been on that long enough. And if you have comments, I'd love to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. You know, we're all facing really scary times. We really, really are. And it's dwelling on all of our minds. It really, really is. But let me go ahead and play the voicemails. I haven't pre-listened to these, so I don't know what to expect. Everyone's comments are appreciated. All of you are part of the Ohana. You're part of the family here. And feel free to open up your hearts and your minds and blast at me or whatever it may be. 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. Comments, of course, you can email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Let me go ahead and play the two voicemails, and then we'll get into some email comments.
Hey, Todd, it's me, Jose Alvarez, from the great Golden State of California.
Hey.
I'm just wanting to leave a little comment regarding your grandpa, your grandfather, you know. You know, I'm with you, you know, I'm feeling you and everything, you know, at this moment and everything. Just wanted to cheer you up a little bit. You know, as the old saying goes, you know, life goes on, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's my little comment about that. So peace and love, right? Peace and love.
Hey, thanks so much. That was a very thoughtful call. I definitely appreciate it. And, you know, really, when you have some with you for 99 years, and, you know, I was lucky to experience the warmth and love from him for, you know, all of my life. I can't ask for any more. And he had a very full life, a very rewarding one, very successful one. And believe me, it's not a, while you mourn for the person, you also celebrate their life at the same time. So, but I do appreciate your call. It was, it is greatly appreciated. And thanks for the heartfelt voicemail. Let me go ahead and play the, and thanks, of course, thanks for calling. And here's the next one.
Hey, Todd, Brian here. Sorry to hear about your grandpa.
Ah, thank you.
I'm on this my G1, and I tell you, the T-Mobile service is pretty lousy in New York area. I just want to comment on the YouTube versus Hulu article. You know, it really reminded me of when Hulu first made it to Mark Cuban was kind of propping it up. I don't know if it's Crunch Gear or that writer. They seem like they're a big fanboy for the big networks, or maybe the writer wants to get a job for the big networks. But I just don't see how you can compare the two. For one thing, if people are watching regular TV and then they watch a show on Hulu, they're not going to watch it on the regular TV. So the ad revenue is going to be going from regular TV, and then Hulu is going to be gaining it. But the regular network.
Oh, what happened?
I think it's a little fuzzy math going on there with those numbers. And, you know, I mean, come on. The guy comparing YouTube to Hulu is anyway. He's falling off of skateboard videos? Is that all you come up with that's on there? I mean, really, it's a...
I think we're experiencing a little of that T-Mobile connectivity.
Hulu, do you know what YouTube is? You heard of YouTube? Yeah. I mean, you know, I use it for a reference. It's how-tos on there. I mean, it's just absolutely no comparison. You know, I don't know. You said YouTube is blabber, but, I mean, really, since when is the you know, is all the user-generated content blabber? I mean, what does that say about podcasting? You know,
that's true.
YouTube is blabber. What does it say about podcasting? I just, you know, I don't watch it often. But if you want to find something, you say, hey, check YouTube. I mean, you can find it there. You can't do that with Hulu. Anyway, little rant. All right. Look forward to the show.
Hey, thanks for that. And you're right. You're right. I know, and I guess I've never went to YouTube and specifically searched for something. I always looked at most popular or whatever. So maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to start treating YouTube as a Google and see what I can find. And I'll be honest, I haven't used it as a resource before, largely because I guess I don't expect to find that stuff on there. But good point. I guess we experience a little bit of the T-Mobile G1 connectivity in New York. But we got your point through, and hey, thanks for calling. Definitely appreciate it. Let me go ahead and get into the email here real quick before I run real long on the show today. I want to thank Big C. I want to thank Edwin for their emails about on passing condolences. I want to thank Keith for his email. He says, actually loading it here for it here to load. And this thing is supposed to be caching. I don't know why it's not doing that right now. He says, Todd, I coined a new word for use on Twitter. It is twister. It means the act of answering a tweet or Twitter. So twister. T-W-I-T-S-W-E-R. Like an answer, but twister. Hey, Keith, that's a good one, okay? Did you register the domain? If you didn't, somebody just did. Got an email from Ron. He says, hey, you asked on show number 425 for an indication on how listeners spend their time, RE, traditional media, and net-based. I admit to being a TV junkie. Is that a confession? I admit to being a TV junkie and watch, on average, 30-plus hours of primetime TV, 8 to 11 p.m. a week, which means I record a lot of shows onto VCR. In fact, 3 or 4 times a week, I have 2 VCRs recording while I watch a third show. During the week, I manage to listen to about 2 or 3 hours of audio podcasts daily, both technology and science, and I watch two half-hour video podcasts a week. I would say I'm about 60% traditional media and 40% new media. Thankfully, retirement allows me the freedom to spend my days this way. Why, yes, Ron, that is a beautiful thing. To do what you want to do when you're retired is exactly what retirement is all about. Thanks for your email. Hey, I want to thank Jeffrey for offering up. He offered up to do the show tonight in case I was not going to be available and I had to get out of town. Jeffrey, thanks for that. I appreciate it. Of course, Jeffrey was one of the hosts while I was on vacation. Got an email from Angelo. He says, hey, Todd, check out the article about the woman on trial. I talked a little bit about that in the show earlier. And I got an email from Keith. He says, hey, Todd, here's a long story about area code 809. He says, don't dial it. And I did some more research on this, Keith. And there was even an article over on the AT&T website talking about it. There's been a little bit of misinformation. But here's the deal, folks. If someone calls your phone and leaves a message, says, hey, this is Karen. I have important information about your husband or your kid or something like that. Please dial 809 da 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 da. Don't pick up the phone and don't dial it, okay? Because what it basically is a scam to get your money. I'm not going to link this specific link up in the email, but all you got to do is search for 809 area code in Google and click on the AT&T link that takes you to the AT&T page about this. And it kind of lays out what the realities are. And basically, you can usually get the charges removed from your phone if you call one of those numbers. And now, not all 809 area codes are like this. I believe it goes into the British Virgin Islands is actually where the – I have to look here where those actually go to. British Virgin Islands, the Bahamas. So not all 809 area codes have this type of a scam. So if you know someone that's in that area code that's a real person, don't be afraid to dial it. So, but anyway, I have just, you know, remember that and you can Google it. Got an email from, I don't know if this is from a, I have to be careful on this one here. This is definitely not from a listener, but it's addressing the appointment of Henry Waxman to the House Energy and Commerce Committee. And he's a little bit worried. This, and I don't know who this comes from. I don't know if this is a political organization or not. But they're worried about that Senator Waxman has ties to Hollywood, and he's worried about legislation that could come out, as far as copyright and that type of stuff. And he does say that the senator has said before that he's not a big net neutrality person. He's basically saying that the networks are owned by those people that own them. They should be able to do what they want with them. And also some stuff about the fairness doctrine. I don't think they'll ever be able to push that out. That people wouldn't stand for it. But I'm not going to link this up in the show notes. But I don't know enough about this guy to make comment. Does anyone know anything on his policies and what it could affect for legislation? I don't know. I don't think that President-elect Obama is going to allow this. He seems to be pretty tech savvy. And I think he's going to, he's going to say what goes when it comes to that type of legislation. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to. Even though he's taken over the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which controls the FCC and other groups, I don't think he's going to be able to do. It's going to do what he'd be inclined to do. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. But us techies will be watching what Congress does. That's for sure. No matter what. I got an email from Jim on the Justin TV thing. Got a whole bunch of people sent me this. And I got an email from Matt. Matt, thanks for your comments as well. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. Lots of stuff to comment on, that's for sure. But next show will come to you from the great state of Michigan. And, it's where I grew up, and I call it God's country. And everyone thinks that they're, the state they live in is that. So don't take that the wrong way. But it is a beautiful place to be, although I hear it's snowing. And I'm not looking forward to being cold. I actually had to dig through, my lovely wife dug through about 10 boxes to find my coat. So, yes, I'm not looking forward to the cold. And I may even be able to do a little bit of that, go a little bit deer hunting. I might actually get some of that in while I'm home. We'll see. I don't know if I'm going to have time or not. But maybe I'll just go walk through the woods and pretend I'm deer hunting. Anyway, that's it for tonight, folks. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Ring, call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. You'll have a very safe weekend out there. Take care one of another, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. Take care, and aloha.